the Marian medal, you know, in history. Really, Our Lady came herself from heaven to explain how the medal should be to somebody who was faithful to her.
Catherine. A moment in which, of course, St. Catherine observes that the hands of Our Lady have rings, and from those rings are the rays that you're mentioning, and some rings were not shining. Exactly. And then she goes and asks, Mother, why is that those rings are not shining? Well, the others are have so many rays of light. And then Our Lady says, those are the graces that are given to mankind through me. And the ones that don't shine are the ones that, unfortunately, people do not ask.
You mentioned Immaculate Conception. That's 24 years before the declaration of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. You have this element here, Our Lady coming, giving this medal, what have you, with Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.
This medal is an ID. We belong to Jesus, we belong to Mary, and this is my ID.
Welcome to Salve Maria, the podcast of the Heralds of the Gospel.
Salve Maria, and welcome to this episode about the Miraculous Medal here at the podcast of the Heralds of the Gospel. Salve Maria, we are very, very happy today to deal with this topic. And Father Arthur, Brother Justin, Salve Maria
Salve
to both.
Maria. Salve Maria.
I don't know, it's a joy because I'm sure that after listening to this program, everybody, if you don't have a Miraculous Medal, I'm sure you're going to go running to get yourself one, because this is fascinating. Not only the story, but also the need we have of this particular medal. But I don't know, Father, maybe we could talk a little bit about the historical context, how the Miraculous Medal came about.
Well, I would say that this medal is the Marian medal, you know, in history. And I think it will remain being the main medal, because it's so important, so full of meaning, that really Our Lady came herself from heaven to explain how the medal should be to somebody who was faithful to her, Catherine Labouré. She was a sister of the convent of charity of Saint Vincent de Paul, and she had a difficult youth, because the mother passed away when she was very young, and there were young children, and she had to take the role of the mother, because the father was a farmer and he had to be out, you know, working, and Catherine had to take care of her younger brothers and sisters.
Just for those who are inclined to do pilgrimages, there is that place in Fin-les-Moutiers. That's where they keep her farm. And you still can find the statue to whom St. Catherine Labouré actually embraced. And she said, well, my mother has died. Now you have to be my mother.
She took Mary as her mother when the mother died. And the statue is there, and the house has been bought by the sisters. And transforming a kind of a place to visit. It was very, very interesting. And it's Fin-les-Moutiers. Fin means the end, because it was the end of the world. And actually, it's difficult to find it.
It is very difficult to find. Very difficult. But Brother Justin, we cut you off. You were going to say something.
I was going to mention the element of the statue. Later on, when Our Lady appears, Our Lady answers the questions that she had made to the statue.
Ah, very nice. Ooh.
See, every day we're finding more things.
So it's kind of like she would pour her heart out with the statue, because she didn't have a mother. So Our Lady was her mother, and she asked the questions that a daughter would ask her mother. And Our Lady just gave her all the time in the world.
Do we fast forward to the apparitions, Father?
Okay, yes, because then she tries to join the convent, but the father doesn't want, because she needs her, you know, to take care of the house, etc. But finally, she goes to Paris to work, and she managed to get into the convent. And I think she was a novice still in the convent, when one night she's sleeping, the whole convent is sleeping, maybe midnight. And in those times there was no electricity, it was just the light of candles. The candles were expensive, so at night they had to turn out the candles completely. And she hears that somebody knocks at her door. And she wakes up, and somehow the door opens, I don't know exactly how, And there is a child that comes. There's an infant that comes. And the infant says, come to the chapel because my mother wants to talk to you. So she dressed quickly and she goes down and she is surprised to see that all the candles are on. It never happened. And she goes in the chapel and she sees that seated at the chair of the priest, where the priest sits at Mass, there is a lady. And this lady is beautiful. And she immediately recognizes this Mary. And she goes and she kneels next to Mary. And even she puts her hands on the knees of Mary. She's so maternal. So she acts as being the daughter, and this is my mother. So it joins what we're just saying, that actually Mary was the mother. And she treated Catherine as she was her daughter. So you can put your hands on my knees because I am your mother, you know. That's so nice. And then they start a conversation.
She was there. She says that there was the sweetest moment of her life.
Of course.
She spent 2 hours, I think 2.5 hours with Our Lady alone. Imagine, no? With her hands in Our Lady's lap.
Can you imagine that? That's like impressive.
Wow. It was amazing. It was an amazing moment. And the Mary explains her many, many things. But let's concentrate on the medal. Because at a certain moment, Mary will tell her, look, this is part of the solution for the world, because the world was going to a war. Mary explains many, many things to her, etc. And all the things that Mary told Catherine, Catherine told the priest, it happened. So it's...
That point is impressive.
No, it's impressive.
And
with a tremendous precision.
Oh, like there was the point of the cross, or the cross outside of the Rue de Bac. Mm-hmm. And she said, Our Lady wants this cross. And they're like, why? They go, no, because there's going to be terrible things happening. The king is going to fall. The king is as secure as I am on my feet. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, we have the July monarchy, and the king is no longer secure. He's
not
gone.
6 months, but it was just a week later.
A week later, sorry.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
But he was as secure as it could be, and next minute, he's gone.
Precisely. So the solution will be the medal. And the first name that the medal will have is the medal of the Immaculate Conception. So Catherine sees the medal on one side and then turns around and sees the other side of the medal. You have 12 stars that go around the medal. 12 stars, what does it mean? It's, of course, the 12 apostles. It's the church. So the medal is the church. And it's sustained by their founders, our Lord Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles. But you have the 12 apostles. So what is the center of the church? The cross. So in the center of the medal, you have the cross, which means that the center of the church is the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross in order to save mankind, and that cross is a symbol of our redemption. And under the cross, who is there? Well, very simple. You have an M under the cross. So it means that under Jesus is Mary. Mary is the mother of Jesus. And Mary is the one who is going to take us as the children and going to give us all the blessings that come from her son, from the redemption, and apply them to us. And then, very well, so we have the church, and the center of the church is Jesus, the cross, and underneath is Mary, the one who adores Jesus and who teaches how to pray, etc. And then what do we have? We have two hearts. Oh, why? Because the church is a place where you are loved and where you love. So the heart is the love. So God is love. So obviously it had to be hearts. And which hearts are there? So which heart are this? The heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. So the two hearts are the center of the church. And it shows that in the church we are loved by them and we love them. Very simple. It's a tremendous catechesis in a medal.
And this is only the reverse of the medal.
Yeah, exactly, one side. Only one side.
Haven't touched yet the front.
Precisely. Then on the other side, we have the actually we have Mary herself. So Mary, as the Mother of God, she has everything that her Son has give her. What Mary has doesn't come from her. She recognizes that everything that she has come from Jesus. And she has her hands open, and from her hands the rays of light that come. It represents that all the graces that will come from Jesus through Mary will be given to us. And much more than in the past. The meaning of this phrase is that Mary is going to give many, many graces that will solve the problem of the world that she was talking before.
And how important it is to ask for those graces, eh? Because I also remember, Father, that there was a moment in which, of course, St. Catherine observes that the hands of Our Lady have rings, and from those rings are the rays that you're mentioning, and some rings were not shining. Exactly. And then she goes and asks, Mother, why is that those rings are not shining? Well, the others are, you know, have so many rays of light. And then Our Lady says, those are the graces that are given to mankind through me. And the ones that don't shine are the ones that, unfortunately, people do not ask for. So when we pray, we need to remember that, right? That Our Lady wants to give us those graces, but if we do not invoke them, if we don't ask for them, we won't receive.
What's interesting also is that you mentioned the Immaculate Conception. That's 24 years before the declaration of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting. You have the declaration. You have this element here, Our Lady coming, giving this medal, what have you, with Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, 24 years before the declaration, and then later on we'll have Lourdes.
To confirm again. So those rings are very beautiful, because actually it's Our Lady says that those rings are not shining because they are not asking for those graces, but she wants to give them. It means that in the future we are going to receive graces that were never given before. There are new graces that will come from the rings, from the hands of Mary.
Then, Father, there was a little bit of resistance with the medal, right? St. Catherine, she needed to insist with the confessor, as Brother Justin said, the confessor was not that open.
Father Aladel,
they finally brought it to the Archbishop of Paris, who, some people say he was not open at all, some others they say, well, you know, yes, why not, let's see. And they end up making the first...
I think the key is the cholera epidemic.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, medical science was not working well. They couldn't figure out a solution. Well, so they're more open to the concept of
cholera, anything. By the way, talking about pandemics and things, cholera would kill a person in 3 hours. It was so fast. It wasn't
weeks and months.
No.
Apparently, the Archbishop of Paris said, well, finally, because Mary insisted, finally, she said, okay, let's make a try. Let's do 1,000 medals only, and let's see how it goes.
And nobody said anything about their origin.
No.
No,
right?
No, because she only could speak with Father Aladel. She couldn't speak with anybody else, with the Mother Superior, nobody. She couldn't tell anybody that she was having these messages from Mary. And the Father Aladel couldn't tell the Archbishop who was the sister for the Archbishop to talk to her and examine her. He couldn't, so he said, sorry.
Because it was under confession, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not allowed to tell you. So, of course, very likely this, put the Archbishop even more, in a defensive position. So they did the first medals, and the sisters started to go around and giving to the sick the medals, and everybody was getting cured. And this is from where the name of the medal comes, because the medal was doing miracles.
So it's popular acclamation.
Popular acclamation. This is the miraculous medal.
The medal is miraculous.
Exactly.
The word remains.
But also, I remember this is something that they were saying at the shrine at Rue de Bac, was that the medal was not sent by official means to the New World, to North America, or to South America, or to Africa. It was sent by people in Paris, and they would send by mail. Oh, really? They would get one and they would send it to a relative. And that's how it became so popular, which is that it just spread. Amazing. It was like fire.
So let's go to a little pause, Father. And I know this is in the best moment, but stay with us until the end, because now we're going to talk a little bit after the break on the early miracles, and also a little bit more relating both the Miraculous Medal and Our Lady of Lourdes. We'll come back in a moment.
Salve Maria. I'm Father Ryan Murphy of the Heralds of the Gospel, and I'm delighted to extend an invitation to each and every one of you. In the midst of our busy lives, it's crucial to take a moment of reflection, of solace, and of prayer. That's why I would like to personally invite you to join us every day at 3 p.m. for a special and powerful devotion, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The Divine Mercy Chaplet is a beautiful prayer that embodies the boundless compassion of our Lord. It's a time to come together as a community, regardless of where we are, and lift up our intentions, our hopes, and even our burdens to the heart of Jesus. Imagine all around the world, countless voices uniting in prayer at this very hour. It's a moment of connection, of spiritual unity, and of seeking God's mercy in a troubled world. So mark your calendars, set your alarms, and make a commitment to join us each day at 3 p.m. Tune in and experience the transformative power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Let this be a sanctuary of peace amidst the noise of life. And thank you for being a part of our Heralds Canada YouTube channel. Together, let's embark on this journey of faith, hope, and mercy. I'm looking forward to praying with you every day at 3 p.m. May God's love and mercy shine upon you always. And until we meet again, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So after this break, we continue with the Miraculous Medal. And now, Father, we were going to talk about the adventure of St. Catherine Labouré, right? Because Our Lady commands her to make this medal. There was a lot of opposition. Then this big epidemic of cholera breaks. And then now the Miraculous Medal is put into evidence by astounding miracles.
When the news gets to the Archbishop that the medal is doing all these effects, then he got convinced. Okay, you can print the medal as much as you want. And today is the most printed medal in the world by far.
Yeah. Without doubt.
And in many different formats and sizes.
Languages.
And languages.
I mean, one thing I find interesting about the Miraculous Medal is that most devotions have a particular group or language, which is like its primary. I don't think the Miraculous Medal has a primary. I think every language claims it as their own.
So on the side where Mary is, there is also a saying, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for me that I have recourse to thee. So it's linked to the fact that Mary was conceived without sin, to make it very clear that that notion that Mary was conceived without sin, she was perfect, therefore her son, you know, was obviously coming from an immaculate.
I think also it had something to do with the 18th century and the anti-religiousness, right? We see that when Lourdes comes around a little while later, unfortunately, France had become very anti-religious, anti-Catholic. And this medal that cured people of this disease, this terrible pandemic that was, people were dropping dead in the streets. This is not a little cough and you go to a hospital. No, dying in the streets. And those who used it were saved. They were cured 100%. And those who didn't, who refused it, died. That type of action in Paris caused a tremendous tumult of people trying to find where it came from. No one knew where it came from. But unfortunately, there was a little bit of a lack of openness, may I say, maybe a lack of generosity amongst the Mother Superior of the convent. She didn't want to receive people at the convent.
Well, what really happened was that Our Lady herself was asking that the Chapel of the Miracles would be open to the public. Mm-hmm. And then there was a complete refusal that. No, I think it was Father Aladel and everyone else that they just decided, no, we're not going to do that. And so St. Catherine was so afflicted that she goes to Our Lady and she says, Mother, they don't want you here. Manifest yourself somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, some weeks later, Our Lady appeared in Lourdes. Yeah. And then historians, everybody who investigates this arrived to the same conclusion. Our Lady wanted to perform at in the heart of Paris the same miracles she performed in Lourdes.
But could you imagine Lourdes in Rudabach?
Lourdes in the heart of Paris? Of we course. Have been. But that was the initial intention of Our Lady. She wanted to do that.
But when she went to Lourdes, she had Bernadette wash her face in mud, saying France needed to humiliate itself. It was the pride element. It was that intellectual pride, that atheistic pride that they weren't willing to accommodate.
Talking about pride, Father, can we tell the story of the most spectacular conversion related to the Miraculous Medal, which is Alphonse Ratisbonne?
This is fantastic. This is really a big conversion and maybe a prophetic conversion. Because he was a French, very rich person who was visiting Rome with a friend of his, Italian, Roman. And this friend was Catholic, and they were together going around in Rome, and he needed to go to a church to ask for a mass for somebody who had died in his family. So Alphonse is with him, and he feels a little bit embarrassed to go inside the church, but he said, no, you can stay here in the back. I'm going to go to sacristy. I'm going to speak, order this mass, and then come back. So just wait for me here. So he goes. The Roman person goes, and after a certain time, he comes back to the church. There was nobody. And where was Alphonse? Alphonse was kneeling in front of the statue of a painting, actually, of Mary. So he tells him, look, this lady appeared to me, and she's so wonderful. She's fantastic, and I changed my mind. I want to be a Catholic.
They asked to him, and he said, she didn't say anything. No. But I understood everything, right? That was the...
I think there's another line, too, was that beautiful. She was the most beautiful Jewish woman I've seen. Exactly. And it's like, and that was it. It broke him down.
Because Alphonse Ratisbonne was an atheist Jew, yeah. Right?
He was from the Rothschild family. The
Rothschild family, completely agnostic, nothing to do with
perfect
religion.
Element of that century.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he... Obviously, he understood in his soul. Our Lady must have explained him many, many things, and it was completely changed.
He ended up being the founder of a religious order.
He became a priest. Yeah, he became a priest, and he
was baptized
by Daughters of Zion, I think.
Yes, he was baptized by Pope Pius IX, and then he became a priest. Imagine a priest, and also founder of a congregation that works, doing evangelizing. Hebrews, Jewish people.
Exactly. That church there, San Andrea della Frate in Rome, where the miracle happened, it's taken care of by the Capuchins. That spot where the miracle happened is very blessed.
Very blessed, very blessed.
It's like there's something, something special happened here.
It was a side altar, but today that altar is...
Kind of the main
altar.
Yeah,
the main altar.
They kind of took the whole church and kind of twisted it sideways. And all only the Italy can do things like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
All the total flexibility.
The masses, the weekly masses, they all said at that altar.
No, when you go in, you don't. The church is one way, and in reality, everybody's on the other, no, because the miracle happened. And there is also a statue of Saint Maximilian Kolbe there as well, because when he studied in Rome, that's where he learned about all of this, and there he started the Night of Immaculata, and actually. Him, St. Maximilian Kolbe, explained things about the devotion to Our Lady as much and as far as St. Louis de Montfort.
Yes,
both of them are pillars in devotion to Our Lady.
Exactly. So this medal is an ID. This medal is an idea of every Catholic. You know, we belong to Jesus, we belong to Mary, and this is my ID. I believe, you know, this is the church, the center of the church is Jesus, the cross, and under the cross is Mary. And this is a place where I am being loved by Jesus and Mary, and I have to love Jesus, Mary, and my neighbors and everyone.
So we couldn't finish this program, Father, without advising everybody. I mean, if you don't have a miraculous medal, run and get yourself one, because, absolutely, you know, a big one, a nice one.
All of us in the Heralds, we all have a little chain with a medal. And also we have the medal on our rosaries. Because it's the medal by excellence. It's something that never we had a medal like this with so much meaning and so much blessings.
But Father, maybe something very, very important we should point at the audience is about this relationship, you know, between Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, how she presents herself in the Miraculous Medal, and later on, as we were saying, she also presents herself in Lourdes under the same advocation, the same intention.
So in Lourdes, finally, when the parish priest, you know, is pressing Bernadette to ask the lady, Akero, the lady, to ask the lady who she is, to give her name. And after several times that Bernadette asks the lady, she says, tell the priest that I am the Immaculate Conception. So Bernadette, maybe it's the first time in her life that she heard those words, and she run and repeating in her mind these words in order not to forget them. And she reaches the priest, and she tells the priest, look, the lady gave her name, and the name is I am the Immaculate Conception. And then the priest gave up. He said, it's impossible that you invented this.
Because he told that to the bishop. This girl does not know what conception is.
No.
She doesn't know.
No, of course she didn't know.
And how much it matches also that very prayer that is around the Miraculous Medal. No? Mm-hmm. Oh, Mary conceived without sin.
But also, I always picture the image of she's down at the grotto, and then she runs up that hill into where the church is on top, all out of breath with her wooden shoes. And she says it in her Landoc accent, that style of speech, you know, that it's so fascinating. You know, you get two individuals which are almost, they almost look like sisters in a sense, mm-hmm. Bernadette and Catherine Labouré.
Of course.
But both of them are incorrupt.
Yes.
Both of them are tiny.
The body of Catherine Labouré is in the chapel, is totally incorrupt and still dressed in her mm-hmm. Habit of the time. And it is very nice that in the medal you have the rays coming from the fingers of Mary. And in Lourdes you have the water, which means the graces that the rays represent. It's another representation. So it's the water that comes without stop, regardless of the reception of the people. Even they reject the graces, Mary continues giving graces and graces and graces.
Keeps pouring.
Mm-hmm. You know, for those who are familiar here with Canada and with Niagara Falls, once our founder, Monsignor Jean Claude, he commented many, many times, and even Professor Plinio Corrado Oliveira, both, they mentioned that when you see all the waters that come, you know, there through Niagara Falls, that's nothing, they said, but a symbol of the graces that Our Lady is ready to bestow upon mankind, making reference to the hands of Our Lady in the Miraculous Medal.
Well, and this is what the world needs today. No, it's a Niagara fall of grace. No, it's, we need something that will be irresistible. Nobody can stop the water in the falls. That's what the world, the church needs. You know, kind of a outpouring of graces that has never seen before.
We advise everybody. Then again, if this program has a fruit, let it be that everybody goes and picks up the Miraculous Medal in case that you don't have it. And if you have it, well, wear it with more devotion.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's give to all of you the blessing of Almighty God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.